For Jesus, a life that is true, trying to please Him in all that we do. You know how happy life is when you live for Jesus? You say, what about the difficulties? Well, I see that. I see sicknesses and I watch the grace of God. And I realize that through difficulties is when God makes Himself so real to us. And that's when you find that living for Jesus is the greatest life there is in all the world. Amen. Amen. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. You know, we need to pray for one another, don't we? A lot of us don't know what's going on in each other's lives. Sicknesses, difficulties. But we need to pray for one another. You don't have to know everything. You just have to love somebody enough to talk to the Lord about them. Now think of all the things that we've had. The sicknesses and the heartaches. And I found a God that's faithful. And He takes care of it all. I wish I could explain every sickness, every death, every tragedy, every difficulty, but I can't. But I can tell you there's one in heaven that's in control all the time. He sees all and He knows all, and we can trust Him with all. He'll take care of everything. Let's stand to our feet in honor of God's Word this morning. Begin reading again in verse number 1 as we did last week. Pray for me this morning as I preach. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. I want to preach this morning on the hope of the gospel. Last week as we were looking in the Bible, we looked at what the gospel can do for you. This morning I want us to see the hope of the gospel. You say, isn't that the same thing? No, it's taking it to the next step. Let's pray. God would help us to see this. Father, we thank you for loving us. Our hearts have already been stirred this morning. And we're reminded again of your goodness and of your grace. Lord, we thank you for ability to rejoice with each other and to cry with each other, to worship around the throne of God. And we thank you for your manifestation. Lord, I pray that you'll help me as I stand to preach. I don't want to do or say anything that would hinder your work in our lives. So Lord, as I give forth the word, I pray that we would hear from heaven and we'd be helped. Lord, I pray that you'll do something mighty in our midst. Be with those that need Christ as Savior. And be with those of us that are saved who will be encouraged in the Lord to do greater things for thee. Please have your way. We'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. These first 8 verses of the book of Colossians, we look at the second time at this. It's just an introduction. It's Paul's greeting to this church. Colossae, it's a small city, insignificant city. But one of the most beautiful letters ever given is this book, this letter we read to this small, out-of-the-way church. It was a place where Paul never visited. Yet, through the influence of Paul and his Christ, a church had been started. Epaphras is apparently the pastor. And Antiochus, there's a church in his house. We don't know how many churches are there in Colossae, but he's writing a letter to this little church, this little local assembly here at Colossae. Maybe there's more than one, I don't know, but we know that he's writing to the one where Epaphras is the pastor. And this place, Colossae, would never be mentioned had it not been for this letter of Paul. Colossae was so small and little known. And just a few years after this letter was written, it was a place where it was destroyed. It was there was volcanic activity, all kinds of things, and an earthquake. Just a few years after this letter was written to this church at Colossae, this whole city was destroyed by an earthquake. So we wonder, what's the significance? Well, there was a church here. And there was a people that loved God. There was a people that were called out to do the work of God. But the thing that made the difference was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at this, we see that Paul's writing to a certain group of people. We see it, first of all, we find out who we are. The Bible says, to the saints. That's what we are today. Don't be fooled by what some people term as a saint. You know, the Catholic Church has the dogma that surrounds what a saint is. And you have to be dead before you can be a saint. You know? I don't want to be one of those kind of saints, do you? They have it, you have to do some kind of a miracle while you're alive, and then posthumously after you're dead, you have to perform two more miracles. You have to be well on your way. But then still they have to be canonized by the Pope, and they have to have all kinds of a committee. But the Bible teaches us that a saint is just somebody that's been made holy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, when you're looking at me, you're looking at a saint of God. Not because I'm so great, but because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins have been washed away, and heaven's going to be my home. The Bible says, to the saints. And then the Bible also teaches us not only who we are, it says what we are. And faithful brethren. We're to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be a people that honors the Lord. Our lives are to be faithful to Him. If we have been saved by the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God help us to be faithful. And then the Bible not only says who we are and what we are, it tells us where we are. And it gives us two places. To the faithful, to the saints and the faithful brethren, first of all, that are in Christ. That's where we are. I'm in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But not only are they in Christ, they're at Colossae. They're in this world. Don't ever forget that. You've heard the statement made many times that they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. We have to realize that we are in Christ, but we're also in this world and of this world. And then some people are so worldly minded that they're no heavenly good. But there's a healthy balance of both. We're to be in Christ and in this world. And we are to represent Christ to this world. So Paul's writing to this church at Colossae, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. And he greets them with a wonderful greeting, because we find in this church at Colossae there is Jew and Greek, and he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word grace is the term that the Greeks would use for a greeting, and the word peace is the term that the Jews would use for a greeting. You know who's in this church? Jew and Gentile that have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. And we know, as we said last week, that there's trouble here. There's some things that are going on. There's some things trying to work their way into the church. And Paul is writing to them. And in his greeting here, these first 8 verses that we read in this letter to Colossae, he says more than what a whole lot of preachers say in a whole sermon when they stand before people. He's helping them to understand who they are, where they are, what they are, where they're headed, and what they're to be doing with their lives. It would be good for us to take note of what Paul is writing to this church at Colossae, because God did not save us to sit. God saved us to serve. And dear friends, our responsibility is to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world and help them to get what we have. There's so many people that have made professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but their life does not prove their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, pitiful life that is. Look, you can't understand the grace of God. You may be saved, and heaven may be going to be yours, but you're missing out on so much if you're not living for God now. We need Christ to be real, not only to us, but through us. People need to see Christ in us. And we see, as Paul is writing in this greeting, he reminds them, once again, as we talked about last week, we are reminded of the gospel and the importance of the gospel. And he writes to them concerning the hope of the gospel. For the Bible says in verse number 5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the most important matter that has ever been revealed. The gospel is none else than the good news, how that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture, how that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And the Bible teaches us that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has done more in this world than any other power, than any other might. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Dear friends, you want to turn this world around? It's not going to be through some kind of a passing fade. It's not going to be through some kind of the music. It's not going to be through some kind of a fad, but it's going to be through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see Tampa right with God? You want to see your family right with God? Give them the gospel. The gospel, it can remove the hardness for most of the hardened hearts that you've ever seen. It can break down barriers. It can remove the obstacles. It can build up hedges of protection in people's lives. The hope of the gospel makes all the difference in the world. When I think of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I recall a day in my life where I bowed my knees and I called upon Jesus. And I put my faith, not in my prayer, but in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and the third day when He rose from the grave. I put my faith in the finished work. When the Lord Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished," that's exactly what He meant. Salvation's plan is complete. It is finished. What needs to be done has been done. The way has been paved for every man and every woman, every boy and every girl to go to heaven and to be with Him. Oh, let's look at the hope of the gospel this morning. First of all, we must hear the gospel. We must hear the gospel. The Bible says in verse number 5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The people of the church at Colossae had heard the gospel. No one's ever going to be saved if they do not hear the gospel. There's no salvation outside of this. You know, churches have done a great injustice to people in allowing them to come and to join the church without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, without understanding what the gospel is all about. The Bible teaches us that people must hear the gospel. Churches have quit preaching the gospel because when you preach the gospel, you have to preach about sin. You've heard, not only is it the world's largest church or whatever, the largest church in America, if that's what they want to call it, where the preachers got up and said, "I don't preach about sin. I don't preach about hell." Well, look, what do you need to be saved for? If you're not a sinner and there is no hell. Amen. Dear friends, people need to hear the gospel. Amen. They need to hear that Jesus died for their sins. That he was buried because of their sins. And he rose the third day victorious over their sins, over death, hell, and the grave. And the only hope they have is to hear the gospel. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if you'll turn there with me, chapter number 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that word, saved. When you're witnessing to people today, it's hard to use that word because people don't understand it. I've asked people, have you ever been saved? And they'll say, saved from what? So we're going to have to learn how to talk to people to get them to the point where they understand they need to be saved. And before anybody ever gets saved, they need to understand that they're lost. That they're sin, right? But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to this. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring the glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must hear the gospel. People must hear the gospel. The church at Colossae had heard the gospel. And dear friends, the gospel made a difference. It gave them a hope that this world could not give them. That's why Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. People must hear that Jesus died for them. Hear that Jesus was buried in their place. And hear that Jesus arose to give them victory over their sin. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 1. And they spake unto the people and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, listen to this, many of them which what? Heard the word, believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, saith unto them, ye rulers of people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it made known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation outside of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was going on? There was a man that was sitting there crying out for alms, and Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Well, he rose up and he walked. And this really tore the religious leaders up. Because they said, where's this power at? Where's the power that can take somebody that's not able to walk and to make them walk? Peter said, it's the one that you nailed to the cross. It's the one that you crucified. And the one that rose again the third day. It's through his name, through the name of Jesus, that this man is walking. But I'll tell you this. I want you to know, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what they're saying? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know what they're saying? There's only one way to heaven, and that way is people must hear the gospel. Look, there's people dying and going to hell off church pews because there's no gospel given. You know what churches have done in America? They've become social clubs. They've become a better place from which to go to hell. Because it's a social gospel. It's not the soul-saving gospel. Paul's writing, and he says, I want you to know it's the gospel that made a difference in your life. All these things are trying to creep in, but it's the gospel. How Jesus died, how He was buried, and how He rose again. Remember when you heard the gospel, Colossae? Remember what it did? People must hear the gospel. Salvation is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people have heard the gospel, but they must heed the gospel. I can stand up and tell you all day. I can stand up here and say, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus was buried, and He rose again the third day to give you victory over your sins. I can say it. I can say it all day long. I could repeat it over and over and over and over again. You know, like one of those monotonous messages, one of them subliminal messages. Try to get it in your mind. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day for our sins. Jesus died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day for... Yeah, I can say it and say it and say it, but until you heed it. There's a lot of people that know Jesus died for them, but they've never done anything about it. They may come to Sunday school, they may have been baptized, they may have joined the church, but they've never put their faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. If you've not done that, you're not on your way to heaven. Having your name written on the roll of East Live New Baptist Church or any other church in this world is not going to get you into heaven, but having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is sure. Heaven will be your home. Not only do you hear the gospel, you must heed the gospel. The Bible says back in our text this morning in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 4, I want you to look with me. The Bible says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel which has come unto you as it is in all the world. They heard the gospel, but they heeded the gospel. Paul says, I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Not only did they hear the gospel, but they put their faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. They put their faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the book of Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David's not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now listen to this. Then they that gladly received or heard his word were baptized. They heard it and they heeded it. And the same day there were added unto them, into that church in Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. What was going on? There was a crowd of people. They were listening as Peter was testifying. And he began to testify about what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And they heard the gospel when he said, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. You can read the whole story and you're going to find he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they had two choices. They could heed it or they could cast it away. And I have no doubt many of them that were there said nothing. They cast it away. But there were some of the men that come and said, what shall we do? Peter said, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says many of them that heard the word received it and were baptized. You know what they did? They heard the gospel and they received the gospel into their life. That's what salvation is. It's not giving up this or giving up that or doing this or doing that. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's putting your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. The book of Acts chapter number 17 is a beautiful story about some Bereans. Paul and them were at Thessalonica, and they faced all kinds of opposition there at Thessalonica. And so they go from Thessalonica and they come to Berea. And the Bible says in chapter 17, verse number 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The Jews here were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica, is what it's saying, in that they received the word with readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Also of honorable men, honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. You know what happened? They heard the word. And they searched the Scriptures. They found it was so, and many of them received. They took heed. They received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see things happening all around. I see churches booming. I see all kinds of things going on. And you look and you wonder and you listen to their message, and their message never is about the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying every church that's booming is wrong. I believe some that are booming are right. They're doing the right things. But what I'm saying is many, many churches are failing in our responsibility to the gospel. Paul had never been to Colossae. But he loved the Lord enough, and he loved the church at Colossae enough to write to them the truth about the gospel and to help them to understand that their only hope was the gospel. Why? Because works was trying to work its way in. The asceticism was trying to set in. In other words, you have to forbid yourself to the point of great distress to your body. You have to lower yourself. You have to allow yourself no joys, no pleasures in life whatsoever, nothing. You have to be miserable is what was trying to, or the opposite. You just got to live it up. Do what you want. And I think we're going more towards that way today. In a lot of the churches, it's do what feels good. If it feels good, do it. Live your life, you know. Just live it up day by day. And these things were trying to make its way in. And Paul says, your hope's not in asceticism. Your hope's not in licentiousness. Your hope is in the gospel. You've heard the gospel. You must heed the gospel. The gospel is not only about your salvation. The gospel is about your life. Because when you've been changed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it helps you to live your life. It will affect everything you do. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying when you're out there and you're tempted to sin, you know what you ought to remember? Jesus has to pay for this. Jesus paid for all my sins. When you're tempted to say something wrong, you ought to remember, the Lord Jesus died on the cross for all my sins. This is hard for me to fathom. The Lord Jesus is ever present, right? You know, He's already in my tomorrow. He's already there. When Jesus died on the cross, what sins did He pay for? All sins. So every sin that I commit and every sin that you commit, I want you to understand this, has to be paid for. It ought to change the way we live our lives. We ought to think about it. Before we do the wrong thing, Jesus had to pay for that sin. Now, I can't fathom this because I'm not God and I don't have a finite mind like God does. But here's what I imagine sometimes. When I sin, I'm thinking, that's another pain that Jesus had to feel. That's another hurt that Jesus had to go through because He had to pay for all my sins. He took all my sins, all my sorrows, all my shame upon Him, and He nailed them to His cross. See, the gospel changes your life. When you hear the gospel, you must heed the gospel. You have to do something with it. How can people that are saved be so flippant about their life? If you consider the gospel, you won't be. When you consider everything that Jesus did so that you could go to heaven, it'll change the way you look at things. It'll change the way that you approach things. You realize that He cares so much for you that every decision you make will be guided by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not pointing to you and saying that I'm doing all that, because I want you to know right now I'm under conviction about many things in my life. Even as I'm thinking about this, these weren't my notes. This is what God just put in my heart and in my soul to say. We've got to understand. We have to heed the gospel. It's not just about being saved. It's about the life that we live. The Bible teaches us in John chapter number 3 and verse number 18. When we think about this, many people have heard the gospel, but they've never heeded the gospel. The Bible says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You have two choices, right? Believe or not believe. And if you believe, you're not condemned. But if you do not believe, you're already condemned. You say, "Well, this isn't a hallelujah shout message." You're right, it's not. It's a message that we must hear. There's too many people playing games at the house of God. There's too many people that's acting like they have something, but they've never given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 36, that was the words of the Lord Jesus. John reiterates it with his words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's a present possession. That's something good to know. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, instantly you get everlasting life. Instantly. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You either have everlasting life or the wrath of God. Look, if I were you today, I'd get it right. I'd give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd have everlasting life. You say, "Well, what do I do?" Believe. Put your faith in Christ. John 1:12 says it best. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." We witness to people. There's a lot of people out there. They may listen, but they don't receive it. I'm telling you today, you must give the gospel. But it's not your responsibility to receive it for them. It's your responsibility to give it to them. It's to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings me to the final thought this morning. The Bible says, the Bible teaches us we must hear the gospel, must heed the gospel. But then we see the hope of the gospel is to be revealed. Once we've heard it, once we've heeded it, we are to reveal it to others. The Bible teaches us in verse number 5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." What is the hope? Verse 27 tells us, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." You've heard, you've heeded it. Now the hope of the gospel should shine in our lives. Many Christians act like Jesus is dead. You go to a church service and you sit there like a bump on a pickle and a knot on a log. I go to church sometimes and I look out and I see it looks like people's been sucking on persimmons, you know? Like Paul said when he was leading a song this morning, you look out, boy, when we start singing certain songs, it ought to bring a smile to our face and joy to our lips and praise to our Lord. I think we ought to be excited about the things of God. I think the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that has changed their lives should be revealed to this world. As a matter of fact, I think when people that are lost come into this church and we start lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to get contagious and they ought to think, boy, they mean it around here. People ought to come in here and say, there's something different about this place. Jesus is real to them. He moves in their lives. He works in their lives. And when they start singing about Him and start preaching about Him, all of a sudden you start hearing people say, "Amen." You start seeing people lifting up their hand and saying, praise the Lord. You hear somebody say, well, glory to God, because the gospel has made such a difference in your life. You've been passed from death unto life, from darkness to life. You've been passed from hell into heaven, and you have a hope that's in you that this world may not understand. But dear friends, when you start letting the hope that's in you shine, this world's going to say, I want what they've got. What a difference the hope of the gospel makes. We're not going to win people to Christ if we're dull and dead in our witnessing life. You're not going to win people to the Lord when you go to work and you say, boy, that church of mine. Oh, they got that preacher. He's the most pitiful excuse of anything I ever heard. Look, I'm never going to claim to be the greatest preacher in the world, but I'm telling you I have the greatest Savior in the world. And there's one thing I will tell you that I always do. That's lift Him up. I don't care what people think about me, but I really care what they think about Him. Amen. And dear friends, we have a Savior that's worth living for, that's worth shouting over, that's worth telling others about. Many Christians, I know, I mean, it is. It's as though Jesus is dead. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand this morning, the Lord Jesus is not dead. He's not even sick. He is alive and well. Yes, He was nailed to an old rugged cross. Yes, He was put in a borrowed tomb. But I want you to understand, on the third day, He arose from the grave. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. And the Bible teaches us that He ascended up into heaven, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and where He ever liveth to make intercession for us. My Savior is alive and well, and He's there, and He's rooting for me, and He's interceding for me, and He's there being the propitiation for my sin, and He's there loving me when I'm wrong and loving me when I'm right. That's my Savior, and I don't want to lift Him up and let the world know I belong to Him and He belongs to me. Christ in me is my hope of glory, and me in Christ is my assurance of glory. Dear friend, heaven is mine because Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Savior we have. The hope of the gospel ought to be revealed to this lost and dying world. The Bible teaches us, we're going to close the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 5. The Bible says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in simples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And listen to this, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know what He said? We don't have to come into Thessalonica to try to spread it abroad. For from you sounds out the word of the Lord. Not only right there in your location, but in Macedonia and in Achaia and everywhere your faith is talked about. Look, I don't mind having the big crusades come into town if they're going to come in and do the right things and preach the right things. I don't mind that. But I don't want people coming in to do the job that God's put us here to do. Does that make sense? We're here on purpose. Now, we have preachers in and we come in. I'm a local church man. I believe that everything's to be done through the local church. I don't have a problem with local churches getting together. But this is what I'm saying. From East Lavenue Baptist Church, I'll just sound out the word of the truth. There should be something that shines about us as we witness to this world. Because Christ is real. He's real to us. Heaven, faith becomes sight when Christ is in us. The assurance of heaven is ours because of Jesus. The hope of the gospel is revealed by the change in our lives. Can people see a difference? Let me ask you a question, and I'm closed. This is it. Can your wife see that you're a Christian? If you say you're saved, can your wife say, his testimony is real? He's not perfect, but Christ is real. Can your husband look at you and say, Christ is real? He's not perfect. She's not perfect. But my wife has the love of Christ. She desires to do the things of God. Can your children look at you as parents and say, boy, my mommy and daddy, they love the Lord. They love to go to church. They love to be faithful to the things of God. Because the gospel's made such a difference in your life. I'm not a perfect daddy. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect pastor. And I have more downfalls than probably my family would even want to admit, or probably things they don't know, you know? Things I battle with that the Lord knows about. We all have our battles. But I hope that my wife and my children and my family will always be able to say the Lord Jesus is real in his life. There's never a question about should I or shouldn't I go to church? Should I or shouldn't I tell somebody about the Lord? Should I or shouldn't I hand out a gospel tract? Should I or shouldn't I pray about this? That ought to be real. It ought to be something that's right. The hope of the gospel revealed, not just to people around us, but to people right in our midst. That's how we're going to make a difference. That's how Isla Avenue is going to have the power of God behind us. Is when the gospel is heard and heeded, and when the hope of it is revealed, when we're shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's writing to the church at Colossae. Everything's trying to creep in. All kinds of things is trying to make its way in. But Paul says, look, it's the hope of the gospel. It's Christ in you. It's what Jesus has done in your life. That's what you need. Not all these other things. Just Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the time you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to respond to thy word. Lord Jesus, we'll thank you for what you do. We know that you love us, and we know that you desire to work in our lives.